You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2008, the 15th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Boston, Massachusetts from February 3rd through February 6th, 2008.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, editorial director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
Hi, my name is Lawrence Siegel. I'm an infectious disease fellow at the Center for Special Studies in Chelsea, New York, and we're affiliated with Weill Cornell Medical College. And I'm going to be talking about my poster today on the clinical presentation of syphilis in HIV-infected men who have sex with men in an urban clinic. So the background information about this study is essentially that since 2000, there's been increasing cases of early syphilis in urban centers throughout the world, and particularly in New York City, we're having a tremendous increase in cases. And despite a lot of prevention work and outreach by the Department of Health, 2007 saw a doubling of the number of early syphilis cases. And our clinic in Chelsea actually is the location of the highest incident rate of syphilis. So while the nation is experiencing somewhere about 2 to 300,000 cases, Chelsea, New York City has about 70 per 100,000. And so in our clinic, we were seeing a lot of patients who, instead of coming to the doctor with symptomatic complaints of syphilis, were just having incidental positive tests. So we kind of set out to see if these patients somehow presented earlier with their syphilis symptoms and we just missed it. And in addition, we were going to look at RPR responses after treatment to see if people are responding to treatment and if there was any difference amongst the treatments. So the only patients included in this study were patients who never had syphilis before, so they could not have told their physician they had syphilis and they could not have positive RPR upon initiation or positive FTA. So it was 118 men were included with a median age of about 38. It was fairly racially diverse, reflective of our clinic, about 33% Caucasian, 30% African-American, and 34% Latino. And most of them were early diagnoses, so only 11% were late latent, and the other most popular categories, about 70% with secondary syphilis. And most of them had titers in the 32 to 64 range. So it turns out that although there were 11% latent, only about 8% of the patients were asymptomatic. So the most common symptom that was noticed was generalized rash. So about 60% of the patients presented with that, and about 23% of them had a delay in their diagnosis. So about 23% of those 70 people presented at some earlier time, and there was a median delay of 25 days. So while that was the most common symptom, the more interesting finding in the study is that patients are presenting earlier and with more atypical symptoms. So things like sore throat and cervical lymphadenopathy were noticed in 21 and 19% of patients respectively, and about half of the patients in those groups had diagnostic delays, and the delay was about 44 or 56 days prior to their diagnosis. So there was a few months in between where they had infectious syphilis that wasn't diagnosed or was misdiagnosed. Other symptoms that people had were subjective fever, inguinal lymphadenopathy, mouth ulcers, and then also missed chancres. So other analyses that we did were just to look at the resolution of the RPR by stage of diagnosis. So whether you had early syphilis, any stage, you were no more likely to have a delayed resolution of your RPR. The people who did have delayed were the late latents. And in terms of treatment, for any early syphilis, meaning primary, secondary, early, latent, it did not matter whether you got one shot of penicillin, three shots, or took doxycycline, your RPR became negative at the same rate. As far as the fourfold decrease, about 96% of patients had a fourfold decrease overall, so a very good response. And the reinfection rates were also quite high, so it was about 24% of this cohort became reinfected.
How quickly?
So it's about 10% a year reinfection. And then in a follow-up study, we'll talk about it's about 10% of this group goes on to have a second and sometimes third infection. So in conclusion, basically, the syphilis epidemic is going on in Chelsea and is getting worse in the context of outreach. And the presentation of syphilis characterized by a wide range of symptoms that physicians are not necessarily picking up at the time of presentation, including atypical things like sore throat and cervical lymphadenopathy. It does look like primary, secondary, early latent syphilis does respond by RPR. Patients with late latent respond slower, and that reinfection is quite common. So we are recommending that providers do more regular screening, at least every 3 months, to kind of increase awareness of possible presenting symptoms.
And this is on all HIV-infected patients or just MSM?
So at New York Hospital, the only syphilis cases we had were in HIV-infected men who have sex with men. We had no other cases.
And so what is your feeling about this? I mean, there's a couple of things going on right now in terms of causing this behavior. It could be methamphetamine, which is causing this behavior. And there have been a couple of studies here presented about, like, sort of small groups of men that they're finding that are passing HCV.
Mm-hmm.
So is that kind of similar to this?
Well, there's definitely a couple things going on. There definitely seems to be a very high-risk group of men who have sex with men who are getting infected repeatedly, and then other groups who just get infected once or not at all. But I guess the real intriguing question is why this release took off in the year 2000 as opposed to any other time. And I think there's probably a couple things going for that. The first is probably condom fatigue and the fact that probably unsafe sex has kind of been well documented all over this conference, is back on the rise. But the other thing which happened in the year 2000, which has been discussed here, is the use of the internet for sex, which has increased the efficiency and the number of partners. And that really is the year that the internet became much more popular. And the other thing here is that because we see these sore throats, cervical symptoms, it's probably a lot more oral sex, and getting people to use condoms for oral sex has never been successful. So those few things together.
Are men aware that they can get syphilis in the back of their throat?
For the most part, people are surprised when they hear it. So our nurses see all the patients for prevention visits with their penicillin shots, and they do the education around that. But most men are surprised that they can get syphilis through oral sex.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how does this compare to other STDs like gonorrhea? I know this wasn't part of the study, but in the clinic, is that just as common?
It's not nearly as common. Uh-huh. And co-infection was pretty rare. Maybe there were a handful of people, but we definitely have plenty of gonorrhea cases. I don't know those exact numbers.
Right. Well, I'm just curious, because why would syphilis be much more common in this population if the activity could get any number of things, like herpes or...
It's a good question. I mean, it could be the fact that, like, it is very infectious. So I don't know if gonorrhea is more or less infectious than syphilis, but when you have a positive RPR and you're in that secondary phase, it's very contagious because it's in the bloodstream, and so any of these mucous membrane exposures...
Do you know of any awareness projects in New York now about this?
Yeah, well, there were awareness projects going on in New York City to providers. I don't know if there was anything new because they just released this new data that there was a doubling of the rate in the first quarter of 2007. Huh. There was significant outreach done.
That's to providers, but what about to patients?
There were community outreaches also. Oh, yeah, okay. It's available on the New York City Department of Health website on what was done in the neighborhood.
Well, it's very disheartening to see, particularly because this is all an HIV-infected population. So it means that not only are they getting syphilis, but they might be transmitting HIV.
Yeah, so it's about 60% of these men are HIV co-infected in New York City. So there are 40% who are also just MSM. But yeah, it is discouraging, unsafe behavior, which probably also indicates why HIV transmission is continuing in certain areas of New York City also. Basically, the baseline data reflects our clinic population exactly.
Well, very interesting. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
This has been a report on CROI 2008 from The Body Pro. For more podcasts and full coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2008.